Hey everyone, thanks for being here today. I'm going to talk a little bit about age as a prognostic factor of stage 4 melanoma using a competing risk analysis. And I'd like to thank my study advisors, Upendra Hegde and Helen Sweet. I have no personal or financial relationships to disclose today. So why do we want to talk about stage 4 melanoma? For a little bit of background, we know that increasing age is a negative prognostic factor in local and regional melanoma. We don't know too much about how age behaves in the context of metastatic disease, so stage 4 disease. We do know, though, that there is some significant heterogeneity in survival by M1 subtype, so in metastatic subtypes within stage 4. And this is sort of unique to melanomas in that they're one of the only solid tumors to have some heterogeneity in this metastatic stage. So depending on the site of metastases, prognosis is going to vary pretty substantially. And we're interested in maybe figuring out whether or not older patients experience sort of a similar benefit as this the overall heterogeneity that we have observed. So there's some existing literature among patients with stage 4 melanoma and age. We know that for stage 4 patients, we don't know, but there's been a study in 2008 that showed that each year of increasing age was associated with a 2% decrease in overall survival. And in contrast, there's some evidence to suggest that, or some anecdotal evidence to suggest the opposite may be true, where some immune system imbalances that are associated with aging may actually foster favorable clinical outcomes among older patients with metastatic disease. So there's contrasting views, and we really want to tease out whether or not age actually is a prognostic indicator of mortality in melanoma, and maybe help provide or guide age-specific recommendations regarding treatment within this stage. So under the umbrella of our main study aim of just estimating the prognostic effect of age on cumulative incidence of mortality among stage 4 patients, we have two main hypotheses. The first being that older patients may actually experience worse overall survival benefit by M1 subtype, so maybe we don't see a clear distinction by these M1 subtypes specifically in older patients. And second, we hypothesize that older patients will experience greater melanoma-specific mortality to younger patients. So most of the studies to date have looked at overall mortality, overall survival. We're really going to investigate melanoma-specific mortality, and that sort of introduces this topic of competing risks, and I'll explain why it's important in a minute. So just sort of orient you to what we mean when we say metastatic disease. Stage 4 disease is defined by any tumor stage or tumor thickness category, any nodal involvement, but you have to be in the M1 category. You have to experience some form of distant metastases to be classified as stage 4, and depending on the site of metastases, whether or not skin, lung, other visceral sites, and some other clinical markers, one-year survival rate can vary pretty dramatically. So you see here for M1A, survival is almost double that of the M1C category. And so that, I think, is sort of clinically relevant and worth investigating, despite the fact that median survival for all stage 4 melanoma is fairly dismal. So the median survival is about 7 to 9 months. But we have an aging population, people are living longer, and I think from a clinical point of view, it's worth investigating whether or not this delineation here extends to older populations. So the study population and data that we used for this study came from the SEER Summary Staging 18 registries. We looked at patients diagnosed from 2005 to 2009 with 2 years of follow-up. There's some other demographic information that we collected, and we looked at age of diagnosis, and we classified older patients as those greater than or equal to 65 years of age. And that sort of follows what we see in the literature in terms of age divisions. We have M1A, M1B, and M1C subtypes, and a few pathological and clinical covariates that we adjusted for. So why do we need a competing risk analysis? Why can't we just look at traditional methods of survival? The first thing that comes to mind, if you've ever taken any sort of class in survival analysis, is these Kaplan-Meier estimates, which are useful when looking at progression-free survival, overall survival, where we have one event of interest. But in our study, we have sort of a baseline, your date of diagnosis, and there are two potential events if a patient doesn't survive. The first being you die from melanoma or you die from another cause. In a traditional method, you would combine these two and just look at overall method or overall mortality. However, in our study, we're interested really in melanoma-specific mortality, so this event of type J equals 1. And the problem when we use sort of, if we want to look at age as a covariate, we could integrate a Cox proportional cause-specific hazard. But the problem with that is we would have to censor other cause mortality if we're interested in melanoma mortality. So we'd have to remove these people, these patients, from the risk set. And in doing so, we would bias our estimates. So in order to sort of correct for this problem, we can integrate a proportional subdistribution hazards regression, which instead of censoring these other these patients who die from other causes, we can actually treat them as informative markers in the risk set. We retain them using a weighted value. And I'll sort of very briefly go into sort of how this works from a formulaic standpoint, but a really in-depth analysis is beyond the scope of this talk. So in a cause-specific hazard, cause-specific hazard regression, we're interested in the probability of event type J, so melanoma-specific mortality, that occurs by time T. The difference in the subdistribution hazard is that we still look at the probability of event type J, so melanoma-specific mortality, by time T, but we also consider the probability of some event that's not of type J, so any other cause mortality, before time T. So that's just another way of saying that we are retaining people who died from other causes in the risk set, but they're just provided a different, they're provided a weighted censoring time, I guess you could say. It's not true censoring. So when we look at our data, we can see that we might need to incorporate competing risks. And with older patients, especially in the context of clinical oncology, this is usually called for because competing events are not rare. I mean, depending on your definition of rare, 12% you could say could be rare, but I'm going to say it's not in this case. And competing events are not equally distributed by age. So as you can see and as you would expect, competing events are much more common among older patients. And by competing events, I mean other causes of death. So, I mean, there's no published criteria for whether or not you should be using a subdistribution hazards regression for competing events, but I'm going to say I know that my model is probably going to be improved if I can incorporate a subdistribution hazard regression because of these two criteria. So I just want to give you like a basic table one that shows median survival by age. You can see for M1 subtype, there's a fairly large proportion of patients who are in this M1C category, and from previously published information, we can sort of understand that these are the patients who we expect to do worse, who will have the lower survival times. And there's some minor yet statistically significant differences in some treatment ethnicity, treatment and demographic characteristics. So this might be a little bit difficult to see, but this is sort of relating to our first hypothesis where we're just actually looking at overall survival, which is actually, we're looking at the complement of the Kaplan-Meier estimate, so 1 minus Kaplan-Meier estimate, which is considering survival or probability of event failure. So this blue line here, blue, red, and green, you can see that these two graphs look the same. The one on the left is for younger patients, the one on the right is for older patients, and those people who have M1A subtype are actually experiencing a benefit in failure, or lower failure probability, so a survival benefit. And there are some different, the magnitude of failure probability is a little bit different, but the differences between subtypes are statistically significant. So M1A confers an advantage in both younger patients and in older patients compared to M1B, compared to M1C. So those are statistically significant. So that sort of goes against our first hypothesis where we suspected that this might not carry through into older patients, this benefit, but indeed it does. So looking at relating to our second hypothesis, we're interested in melanoma-specific and other cause mortality by age. And in this way, we are plotting the cumulative incidence of mortality. The blue represents melanoma-specific death, and the red represents other cause mortality. The solid lines are younger patients, and the dotted line, which is a little bit difficult to see, I apologize for that, are older patients. The first thing that maybe sticks out in your mind, the first thing that kind of draws my attention, is that the magnitude of the cumulative incidence of melanoma-specific mortality is greater than other cause mortality for M1B and M1C only. In M1A, you can see that the magnitude of cumulative incidence is sort of being is driven here by other cause mortality in older patients. So, and the second thing that I would like to point out is that in each case, the melanoma-specific mortality is higher for younger patients than it is for older patients, and for other cause mortality is higher for older patients compared to younger patients. So it's a little bit sort of confusing syntax, but I apologize for that. That's the way it goes. So looking at sort of those estimates visually, we can now look at them numerically, and when we actually estimate the subdistribution hazard ratios, we can see that the differences between older patients and younger patients that are statistically significant for M1A and M1B. So for melanoma-specific mortality, you can see that that older age confers a lower hazard of death in M1A and M1B. For other cause of death, there's a significant difference between older patients and younger patients, where older patients experience a higher rate or higher hazard of death. So what do we take away from this study? The first thing that I think is the most important finding is that older stage 4 melanoma patients with the M1A subtype do survive longer compared to M1B and M1C. And this is sort of the same relative pattern that we observed for younger patients. Despite that, we also observed that older patients with the M1A subtype have increased mortality compared to younger patients with the M1A subtype. And those estimates that showed that older patients had a significantly lower hazard compared to younger patients, that could be due potentially to some maybe immunologic effect where there might be some favorable outcome based on the aging immune system that has some anti-tumor effect. However, based on the magnitude of the competing risk, the other cause mortality hazard ratios, it's more likely that it is an indirect effect. The reason we see such a low protective estimate for older patients for melanoma death is likely due to the indirect effect of the competing mortality event. So, in conclusion, the subdistribution hazard regression for analysis of competing risk provides a better sense of covariate influence on an absolute scale. So, I didn't really go into the cause-specific hazard ratios that I presented in that table, but they are overestimates and you're not actually getting the clear picture. So in order to better characterize the probability of certain events, multiple events in heterogeneous populations, specifically in the context of age where you know pretty much that competing events are going to occur in a different proportion among older versus younger, a subdistribution hazard is a better characterization, especially if you really care about specific distinct outcomes and versus compared to like overall progression-free survival. Study had a few limitations. We had relatively small sample sizes within M1 subtype. There was quite a bit of missing data. A lot of patients did not have information on M1 subtype, so I think that might be something interesting going forward with the SEER registry to maybe collect that data. We didn't have data on chemotherapeutic treatment or tumor genetic profiles. We also had low sample size to enumerate these other causes of death, so we had to group them all together. But it might be kind of interesting to see how things like maybe heart disease or stroke operate maybe independently of each other and how age impacts those cumulative incidence of mortality as well. That sort of ties into the potential for serious comorbidities to persuade patients to either opt out of treatment or whether or not they can even tolerate treatment. And finally, I'd like to again thank my study advisors, Drs. Helen Swede and Upendra Hegde from the University of Connecticut Health Center. Thank you very much. I'll take some questions.
No questions? Approximately what proportion of patients receive chemotherapy?
You know, we didn't have information on chemotherapy at all, so the only treatment variables that were collected were on surgery and radiation, and just as a general estimate, I wouldn't be able to to tell you how many patients received chemotherapy. But, I mean, in terms of older patients, older clinical patients with melanoma, the rates of chemotherapy are lower compared to younger patients. That's about the extent that I know on that topic.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.